CEO and President John Swainson.
Thank you, Lenny. Thanks, Lenny, and thank you to all of you. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited particularly to be at this conference, which is a terrific opportunity, I think, for IT professionals to assemble and talk about the challenges and ideas that are going on in our industry. Every time that I've been at one of these conferences, you know, the conversation inevitably turns to the obvious question, the one that columnists and journalists are going to talk about for probably months to come, and that is, what's the next big thing? What's next? And if we reflect upon the next big things of the last few years, I'm reminded of some recent procrastinations and prognostications by industry leaders. At last year's Interop in Vegas, the then CTO of AT&T predicted that over the next decade, the PIN numbers that we use in ATMs and other places would disappear from our daily routine, and instead we would use our voice or biometric identification to do the to authenticate people from a security point of view. At the same conference this year, John Chambers talked about collaboration and the rise of something he called telepresence, which, as he defined it, was an advanced form of teleconferencing that would blend high bandwidth IP communications with high resolution video and voice conferencing systems, almost as good as being there. Also at that meeting, executives from both Google and Juniper Systems declared that emerging technologies, including enterprise applications, would increasingly be defined by the simplicity of their use and the ease of development and interoperability and integration. The ideas that arise from these presentations and panels and keynote sessions, and most importantly, the discussions that you all have, help to inform our collective consciousness and figure out where we're going to go as an IT industry and how our industry will help shape society at large. Of course, one clear message that emerges from a quick glance at past predictions is that the next big thing is largely a media-fed mirage. Amara's law states that we tend to overestimate the effect of a technology in the short term and underestimate its impact in the long run. And all of these innovations, changes, and trends contribute to the direction that the IT industry is going to take over the next couple of years. And that's what I'd like to talk about today. Here are some of the agenda items that I'm going to cover. First, I want to talk about the trends we're seeing in technology, because I think this has a profound impact on what we do and how we do it. Secondly, I want to think a little bit about the implication of technology on businesses and organizations of all kinds. And third, I want to reflect a little bit on how we in the IT industry have to respond to ensure that customers can actually take advantage of these things. So let's start with complexity. The world is complicated. I think it's a trend that few of us would dispute. What you see in this screen is kind of hard to take in, but that kind of makes the point. You're seeing what we see in our customers every day. The bewildering complexity within a not terribly huge IT environment. This is a snapshot of the astonishing array of hardware and software vendors whose product comprise a typical large enterprise. In every Fortune 2000 company, there are multiple PC suppliers and networking products, applications and management and security providers, and so on and so on and so on. So how do you manage a system like this for maximum efficiency, effectiveness, and security? To me, and to the CIOs I talk to every day, that's truly the central question of IT today, the question and the issue that keeps us up at night. We all know that the IT environment grows more complex all the time, and the reason for this is clear. Businesses are continuing to automate their business processes, and that's a good thing. It is ensuring that productivity will increase and that economic growth will increase along with it. But every time we do that, we add another layer of complexity to that IT environment. So 30 years ago, we started by automating back office processes. bookkeeping and records management and all that kind of stuff. Then we moved to the front office, order to cash and customer relationship management and all the front office things. And now we're moving beyond the front office into something called extended enterprise. We're extending the scope of IT automation to the customers the enterprise itself is trying to serve. Wireless devices in supermarkets that use RFID technology and then direct ordering back through the internet is an obvious example. Look what's happening in the auto industry. Today, onboard computing systems control emissions, braking, ignition, safety, and virtually every key feature of a car. The value of the software in a car is expected to be about 25% of the total value of the car by 2010. In the networked automobile world, the kind of massive recalls we see today should be a thing of the past, because when a manufacturer detects a problem, he'd be able to identify precisely which parts were defective and which automobiles carry those parts. They could then respond. A minor problem might be fixed remotely. A major problem or more complex problem might be fixed by prompting the user through the dashboard to take their car in for service. This is more than a futuristic vision. BMW is in the process of delivering advanced interactive diagnostics into their car using CA technology that will allow remote engineers and, in fact, will allow remote automation technology to test the function of the car and make adjustments to resolve issues, including the downloading of new firmware. This level of automation involves new devices, new classes of applications, all of which must be managed. And these developments are part of a much larger trend towards pervasive computing. We're at the point where everything, quite literally, is going to be connected. And of course, it's important to remember that none of the old stuff has gone away in the process. So we're talking about layering a new layer of complexity on top of an old layer of complexity. What's more, as the network expands to include remote devices of every type and additional applications proliferate, we're producing more security threats, everything from cybercrime to virus to malware. And at the same time, the business is requiring an even higher service level, greater capacity, and greater functionality. I'll talk about these factors in a few moments, but the bottom line is an IT environment that looks something like this. And this is not made up. The level of complexity is becoming overwhelming, and this is where the role of the CIO becomes critical. His role or her role is not merely to help the organization hold together this enormous complexity, but to be at the same time an architect for change in business process. And this is the most critical problem that today's CIO face. How do they use technology to positively impact the business and its processes? It's clearly part of the evolution of the role of CIO. As the IT industry has grown and matured, the CIO has moved from being viewed as a cost center within the organization to being the navigator and translator of critical technologies, with many CIOs now assuming the role of strategic advisor for automating of business processes. For a CIO, this is a logical step forward towards taking on a much more strategic business goal. And the surest means of achieving this goal is to ensure that they are able to take the lead in the management and securing of IT. In my time with you today, I'm going to hope to illustrate some of those things. First and most obviously, the CIO must confront immediate challenges. As I noted, every technology vendor that you and I know is attempting to present a more integrated and more holistic vision of how their offerings will work together. In every case, this will represent change in your environment. Furthermore, technology itself continues to advance. Virtualization, clusters of small replaceable processors or blades, cheaper and faster IP network storage, faster and more extensive networks, service-oriented architectures, software as a service, and open standards. All of these innovations must interoperate with existing environments and previous generations of technologies, from mainframes through client-server configurations through to internet-based software. Let's consider some of these new technologies that are emerging within IT organizations today, starting with virtualization. I believe that over the next 5 years, everything's going to be virtualized. Every aspect of information technology will be virtualized at every level. Processors and computers, For example, Intel is producing now virtualization technology at the chip level that allows multiple operating systems to run in distinct partitions. In storage, we're seeing regulatory changes driving an exponential growth in the need for storage, and technology is enabling this by allowing people to use storage in different configurations, different tiers, and in a much more virtualized way, not simply tied to the devices themselves, but also in ways that allow people to dynamically change it and to replicate things on the fly, as well as change configurations to allow better performance and availability. And of course, the fundamental technology in storage is becoming cheaper all the time. In fact, continued breakthroughs in storage media make it both cheaper and faster to produce magnetic and optical media. In networks, technologies like Cisco's InfiniBand and multi-fabric and V-frame technologies are allowing the realization of fault-tolerant networks via pooling of network switches and high-availability networks supporting high-performance multi-path traffic among applications, storage, and servers. Akamai, who view themselves and bill themselves as the business internet, is offering a virtual network that delivers specific quality of service alongside the fabric of the regular internet. In databases, we're seeing the database technology evolve to allow the most important applications data to be federated across dozens of servers for optimal availability and performance. Most rewarding, but perhaps most challenging, is the virtualization of application workloads across network boundaries with work directed on demand to available resources. And networks themselves are far larger and far faster, supporting many more devices than they used to, and carrying much more diverse workloads. New standards like IPv6 will emerge and be exploited over the next 5 years to help IP enable all forms of data and voice. And over the same period, I think you'll see many of the distinctions between different types of transports for storage, data, and voice start to disappear. Next, networks are also getting smarter. They're becoming more application aware to allow people to dynamically configure them to provide better and higher service levels. At the same time, network security devices are getting smarter and are more able to protect against the proliferation of unwanted elements. CIOs today integrate software vendors' products the old-fashioned way. One by one, a lot of handwritten code, little or no vendor support, and at huge expense. Service-oriented architectures bring the promise of rationalization and functional componentization. With standardized interfaces, registered in centralized repositories, and much more standard means for integrating vendor software into business processes and transactions through an enterprise service bus. The goal, of course, is to enable a process to start in one system and terminate in another with no integration or additional expense required, while continuing to provide end-to-end integrity, management, and security. The ultimate objective of SOA is to make applications more flexible, manageable, and secure, and to make it easier to integrate one application with another in a more dynamic fashion. And of course, as all this stuff is happening, new models of software use and deployment are emerging. These involve hosted networks and security offerings for some classes of applications, increased outsourcing of IT processes and services, and more applications that run outside or through corporate networks. These new models can offer compelling economics and accelerated time to deployment and increased opportunities for outsourcing. Companies like Salesforce.com are clearly leading this charge, but even when responsibility for such systems has been delegated to a third party, overall security, IT service levels, and responsibility for managing these remains the purview and the domain of the CIO. And it's more complicated when it's outside your organization than inside. We know that. There was once a time when hardware vendors offered hardware environments that required proprietary software, and only such software could control and operate such an environment. Today, hardware vendors increasingly rely upon open standards and open systems, and software has progressed to support most of these. Standards are proliferating at an astonishing pace, and that presents us with both some challenges and opportunities as an industry. Some standards have become indispensable. Web services, for example, ITIL, Liberty, SNIA. Increasing compliance with standards means in some ways the days of platform lock-in are gone. And that can be a scary thought for an ISV. As application developers now build enterprise applications, they can do so independent of Microsoft or IBM. Software can be designed and built within Eclipse and can leverage HTML and DHTML and Java and J2EE and XML and everything else you want. And there are now low-cost open source alternatives to almost every development standard, design tool, and runtime environment. And this constitutes a huge step forward. It's going to force us to do what we do best, and that is innovate as an industry. The rise of open standards is going to make it uneconomic to rest on your laurels. Someone else can come in and eat your lunch. In an open-based world, you've got to strive to add additional value to what you do every day, or you'll be eclipsed. No pun intended. Finally, as organizations go global, the issues associated with managing resources both inside and outside the enterprise proliferate. Security must be assured as an organization interacts with users outside the enterprise, maybe outside the continent on a daily basis, to ensure that they can execute business-critical transactions in a business-critical way. All of which brings me back to the central theme. The end result of 60 years of ever more advancing technology is that IT environments are so dynamic, so diverse, and so complex, and they're not in any danger of becoming any less so. Now hold on. There's one more important IT trend that has implications for the management of complexity, and that is that prices are falling, and I think you know what that means. To use sort of an everyday example, when the price of gasoline is low, in the good old days, gas prices drop, people buy bigger vehicles, and they drive more frequently. The same thing happens in IT. When prices decline for relevant core assets, usage is soaring. In economics, this is called sensitivity. We could also call it device proliferation. The price of mainframe MIPS has been falling at 20% a year, and MIPS capacity is therefore at an all-time high. In 2006, processors capable of a cumulative 3 million MIPS will be sold into the marketplace at an average cost of less than $1,000 a MIP. Similarly, distributed server prices are falling 10% year over year. Blade usage is at an all-time high, and as its rate of deployment accelerates, driven in part by the proliferation of Linux, year-over-year pricing is going down. Storage pricing, you've heard a lot about, falling at 40%, and usage going up in a corresponding way. So at this point, you might be thinking, so what? Computing is getting cheaper, technology is advancing, this is business as usual. Well, maybe not, because there are a few other little things that are going on along the way. We can't keep dealing with these trends by doing what we've done in the past, which is being throwing human beings at the problem of managing and securing them. Look at what's happened to IT resources. The proportion of IT employees over the last 8 years has grown in major organizations from 3.5% to nearly 6% of total employee headcount. And application development and maintenance support costs over that same period have risen by from $71 billion to $96 billion in this last year. So not only do these escalating labor requirements result in a structure that's not effective at controlling complexity, in a global economy that's growing about 4% a year, you just can't afford to keep throwing more labor at it. Furthermore, even if you could afford it, there aren't the people to do it. We know about the shortage of IT grads coming out of American universities and the aging of certain segments of the IT workforce, which probably includes me. So if you're betting on more IT employees to solve the problem of IT complexity, I would give you fairly low odds. Furthermore, there's an opportunity cost involved in doing all this. Growing labor costs to manage IT diverts IT from its real purpose. It's not to manage IT, it's to help businesses create value by transforming their processes. And as I've suggested, a lot of enterprises are spending a lot on IT, and unfortunately, they're not getting the value they should. Companies in the Global 2000 spend nearly 9% of their cumulative annual budget on IT. This was 2% when I started in this industry 30 years ago, 9% today. Yet fully 56% of that investment goes to things that are probably no more than just maintenance. And another 24% is sort of applied to tactical initiatives to grow the existing businesses, which only leaves 20% for doing what IT really should be doing, and that is creating new businesses or these transformational business processes. Here's another key factoid. Only 40% of IT budgets are capital expenditures. The rest, over 60%, goes to operational expenses. And as I said, more than most of that is labor. So what can we conclude from all these stats? The world's leading companies spend the lion's share of their IT budgets on tactical projects, mostly labor. And if they continue to do that at the rate they're doing it, at best, they're just going to stay even with technology and the use of technology. They won't get ahead. And that's an enormous waste. That's the opportunity cost I'm talking about. It also is not what CIOs are supposed to be doing. As I said, a CIO is not there to manage IT. The CIO is supposed to be a transformational figure in the organization. CIO is supposed to help you automate the infrastructure correctly so that they can spend new IT dollars on strategic and transformational projects. The organizational structures need to be built more around this transformation stuff and less around just managing stuff that you did before. If we don't do this, a company's capacity to innovate is going to shrink, and their capacity to grow will be diminished, and their labor requirements, frankly, will continue to grow. In other words, by managing IT more effectively, the CIO can do what they're supposed to do, and that is delivering profound value to the business. So now let's look at IT management. It's obviously something we have an opinion about. And as I say, this is something that I believe is central to the value that CIOs bring and the challenge that they're supposed to bring. What has the industry been doing to help people meet that challenge? I think we'd have to give ourselves pretty poor marks. According to industry analysts, 81% of CIOs say that they're using a homegrown methodology to help them manage IT or no methodology at all. Effectively, this means that every major company has their own unique process for managing IT. That's a little bit like learning that every airline pilot has their own guidelines for flying. And if that were the case, I think I'd take a bus. So there's got to be a better way of doing that, and I think there is. So let's talk about what we need to move ahead. We need to drive relentlessly as an industry to the full process automation through technology, not labor, with optimal efficiencies, with formal methodologies of all aspects of computing, with current infrastructures, even as new and disruptive technologies emerge and exploit it. A CIO's got to ensure that IT is driven by the needs of the business, delivering modern and relevant services, that he executes to well-defined budgets and ensures that distinct lines of business share in the cost in proportion to their use. He provides service definitions with clear objectives and measurements, complies with current and major standards, optimizes scarce labor, and is able to meet the demands of his business for service in an appropriate way. As I've noted earlier, IT organizations need to be viewed as tactical, used to be viewed as tactical necessities and cost centers, and poorly managed ones still are. Assuming a true strategic role requires that the CIO move beyond reducing risk and cost, improving service, and that means that they've got to start managing IT as a business and coordinate with the rest of the business. CIOs have to adopt disciplined budget and capital allocation processes, just like everyone else in the business. They've got to ensure that the portfolio of projects aligns with the strategic corporate needs. And they've got to strive to find ways of making business services ever more cost-effective. A typical corporate IT organization today takes its annual capital and labor expenses and spreads them equally across every employee in the company. This is the average cost allocation methodology for a given employee. Therefore, there's almost no relationship between the service provided, the value of the service provided, and the cost of those services. As a result, users typically ask for more and more services and more service and higher service levels, which ends up being subsidized by non-users. We have to get to a much more rational cost allocation methodology. Traditionally, the management and security of IT has focused at the component level. routers, systems, servers, applications, stuff like that. Technologies are now in the marketplace that allow the CIO to aggregate those components into IT services. Email, for example. Email is a critical service for most organizations, but it comprises dozens and hundreds of Exchange servers and storage devices and BlackBerries and VPN servers and user ID management and directory and all that kind of stuff. This needs to be viewed as a service, not simply the aggregation of devices. Those IT services then can be aggregated into the business services that they deliver, whether they be customer order entry, order to cash, or anything like that. CA takes the view that in order to manage IT to benefit the business, you must first manage it as a set of business services. This approach sets the stage for a discussion with the business about how to best provide service to drive business value. As a rule, IT organizations today have not exactly been process-centric. This has got to change if we're to manage complexity properly. It's going to require an integrated vendor-neutral process frameworks like ITIL. It's going to require the right tools, and it's going to require skilled people. ITIL, as you know, was introduced in the UK in the late 80s. It introduces two principal domains, service support and service delivery. Service support comprises disciplines that enable the effective delivery of IT services, and service delivery covers the management of those services. ITIL involves a number of management practices designed to ensure that IT services are actually provided as agreed between the service provider and the customer. In a world of increasing transparency driven by regulation, it's critical to ensure that IT is governed at the same high standards as the rest of the business. In fact, in many cases, IT is the choke point for compliance. It's central to audits of users, data retention policies, change and control procedures, budget management, et cetera, et cetera. And compliance can only be ensured by effective management. Finally, by doing all of this, the CIO ensures that the IT organization is capable of innovating and delivering the maximum possible value to the business. When I think of the ways most organizations manage IT today, I reflect on the way that power plants worked in the 1970s, and I hate to admit I'm old enough to remember that. Each organization was managed by a team of individuals who monitored, manipulated scores of dials, switches, and levers. A central operator then aggregated the reports from different parts of the plant and, based on his own skill and experience, figured out how to run the plant. The consequences of having a problem were dire, so no one dared run their plants at full capacity or efficiency. Today, entire networks of power stations can be managed by a single individual at a single console, and more importantly, that system can be globally optimized to produce the kind of results that you need. It's that kind of simple, efficient, and effective management of storage, systems, networks, and securities that organizations need. All of these aspects of the enterprise must be integrated into a single command center using a single set of tools. Our position is that IT management must be simplified and unified. By simplified, what we mean is that the management of IT must be transformed from a disjointed set of point products into a software suite that supports the company's IT processes. And by unified, we mean the integration of software at the management security layer to support all kinds of IT, including storage and networks and all that kind of stuff. Simplified and unified also further implies that we will drive change by the use of modern technologies that interoperate with existing IT technologies, that we start to consolidate hardware and software technologies as this makes sense, and that we are relentless about automation and therefore the use of labor. Our products include functional suites for security, for enterprise systems management, for storage, and for business services optimization. These suites integrate via a common platform. Taken together, they constitute something we call enterprise IT management, or EITM. EITM is designed to do for IT what ERP did for business processes. It's designed to be a business-oriented approach that allows an organization to optimize IT to meet its needs, to measure, maximize, report on, and demonstrate the impact of IT to the organization's goals in ways that were never possible before. And because That can be done with financial measures. You are enabled now to fully and properly allocate the costs back to the ultimate users of the systems and have intelligent dialogue with those users about what service levels make sense at what price. EITM gives organizations the flexibility and the agility to quickly respond to changing business conditions because it will be possible for you to see and understand what's going on in an IT infrastructure and how it's being changed and affected by change. It'll allow you to take advantage of new ways of conducting business because you can react with agility to changing business conditions. And it'll improve productivity because an organization will be able to do more with less labor. And to ensure the optimal use of enterprise IT and resources, an organization can now systematically begin to anticipate how much it's going to need, not just now, but in the future. EITM provides a path for the evolution of enterprise-wide IT management from a reactive, event-driven one, which is the way we view it today, to one that's much more proactive, where IT organizations begin to anticipate the business needs and configure their systems accordingly, and then optimize those systems to ensure that the needs are met. EITM has to be agile. It has to accommodate changes in business and new capabilities in technology, everything from web services to RFID to internet telephony to wireless networks and other things as they emerge. As organizations are better able to manage IT in a unified way, they can begin to implement policies and practices that determine how the organization should react to new opportunities, how it can proactively adapt the infrastructure to prevent problems, and how to best use resources, both people and systems. EITM automates IT operations and processes to reduce the cost of manual labor, and importantly, to reduce the chance of human error. EITM provides a comprehensive approach to security management that includes user access and threat management, as well as central security-related administration and information. Alignment with business processes to control who has access to enterprise resources, visibility to what happens in the IT environment to provide support for decision-making, as well as auditability. And importantly, EITM provides a holistic approach to IT management, which cuts through the complexity that's associated with traditional point solutions. What makes EITM a compelling vision is the benefit it delivers to the CIO. It allows them to manage risk, both operational risk and business risk, ensuring that they can meet compliance requirements, protect assets, and provide service continuity. It allows CIOs to improve service by delivering the maximum value in a reliable, secure way. It allows them to manage cost, both operating cost and capital cost, optimizing the use of resources. And it allows them to ensure that they align their IT investments to the needs of their business. This includes portfolio and financial and business process measurement. We've reached a critical point in the development of IT. As the pace of innovation continues and organizations have access to remarkable resources with the potential to drive their business like never before, we're going to find that we have a future where innovation is threatening to deliver diminishing returns. Each level of technology is adding yet another level of complexity and another management challenge for the enterprise. So we need to continue the automation of those business processes and the adding of the layers that they represent. But we also need to start putting together that same level of automation at the business process level. Enterprise IT is not going to ever be simple. What we have to do is make the managing and securing of IT simple. I began this discussion by reflecting on our collective longing to define the next big thing in IT. I believe the next big thing in IT will be to manage all the other big things, past, present, and future. Our greatest challenge is to harness the enormous potential of IT, the exciting innovations we see arising every day, and then figure out how to integrate, secure, and managing them. We can simplify the management of IT. We can truly unleash its value, and that's a really big thing. Thank you for joining me today. I look forward to meeting with you, talking about some of these ideas, and hearing your thoughts about where the IT industry is headed. Hope you enjoy the conference. Thank you very much.